This morning we're going to be in Exodus chapter 12, and we're going through and doing a study on fasting and praying. We started last week with our introduction, and it didn't record. So for recording purposes, I may re-preach it at home and get the introduction on our YouTube page at least. And and those of you watching on Facebook, this is our first time, so bear with us. We're going to have mistakes and problems, I'm sure. So we'll see how it goes, and pray for us that this goes well, and we pray that everyone out there has or gets a blessing from this. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for your blessings and for your opportunity to come here and to be with your people here in person and those out there watching. Pray that you give me the words to speak, and pray that you give those out there the understanding and the wisdom to understand what your word has for us. We pray that you be with us as we read your word. We study your word, and we study this topic of fasting and praying, and we pray that it's a blessing to us, and that it's a lesson to us that we can take with us for the rest of our lives, and that we can learn from and participate in and use as a way to draw nearer to you. Be with those that we have on our prayer list, and the ones that are not able to be here this morning. Pray that they're able to be with us soon. Just forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Exodus chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 15, and we're going to read through verse 20. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done to them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. So, last week I mentioned in our study that there's different types of fastings mentioned in God's Word. And the most common one is fasting from food. And it's we mostly see in other places in the Scripture where it is a total fasting from food and drink. But in this case, and we see, just do a little search, a little study here, from what I can find, this is the first place that a fast is mentioned in the Scripture. It's not normally thought of as a fast because they were allowed to eat. They were allowed to eat unleavened bread. We see earlier in this chapter that they were, a part of this was They were to roast their meat by fire. They were to have unleavened bread, and they had bitter herbs with it. So they weren't banned totally from eating, but they were banned from unleavened bread in particular. That's what the Lord talks about here. Or I'm sorry, of leavened bread. Most of the commentaries I look at, most of them would list the first fasting with King David. But if you look at the definition for the word fast or fasting, what takes place here with the children of Israel while they're in Egypt, while they're preparing to leave Egypt, the Lord has them fast from leavened bread. And not just leavened bread, but we see he tells them how they're to cook their meat. If you go over to verse 8 in the same chapter, he says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the puritans thereof." So they weren't even to boil it. They weren't even to make stew out of it. They were to roast it, or as we like to call it, barbecue it over a fire, an open flame. And this was the meat of the lamb that they were to use the blood from to put on their doorposts. And so I'm not going to go into the whole story here because there's a lot more there than we could cover in our time that we have. But as far as the fasting, and they were particularly commanded to fast from leavened bread. And the Lord had a reason for that. And even though the word fast or fasting is not mentioned here, what God commanded the people to do is a type of fast. We talked about, like I said last week, we talked about there are different types of fast. We can fast from whether it's food or water or other drink. We can fast from a particular type of food, like he mentions here, leavened bread. Leavened bread, in most places in the Bible, refers to sin or corruption. We know leavened bread is bread that has yeast in it, is what we commonly think of. We know in the Lord's in the Last Supper, when our Lord had with his apostles, unleavened bread was served. There was no leaven in the bread. In other words, the bread, unleavened bread, is a type of flat bread, is what we would think of today. And depending on where you are in the world, there are different types of flat bread, some thicker than others, some different flavors than others. But in this case, there was a particular reason. We saw in verse 8 how they were to cook their food. We see so they were commanded to eat, but not to eat of things that were becoming to them. In other words, the things that they had that they normally would eat in their normal daily life, they were to make a change here. The change was they were to get rid of the leaven, and nothing pleasant. You know, in their day, from what I understand, in their tradition, in that day, they didn't normally eat meat that was roasted over a fire. It was either cooked with other things like what we would think of as a soup or a stew. He tells them here in verse 9 not to eat it raw. So obviously they had a practice of eating raw meat at some point. We today don't think much of that unless, I know some like raw fish, but that's, I don't know. that's an acquired taste, I guess. But and then there's others that like your meat cooked just a little, and it's, you know, still making noises when they pull it off the grill. But here he's telling them to roast it with fire. And in the bitter herbs, there's nothing pleasant at all. For most people, at least in their day, there's nothing pleasant about this meal. Nothing that would cause him to desire more. If you also notice, this was for a certain time. In verse 15, where we started, it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. And he sticks to that all through this story. If you go and read the rest of the chapter, he sticks to that 7 days. This was to be eaten for 7 days. And this was before he was going to take them from the land. He was going to take them from Egypt. They were to eat unleavened bread. And it was in preparation. One example here is it was in preparation of what they were going into. Remember, when they left Egypt, they left in a hurry. They weren't able to take the pleasantries with them that they wanted. They couldn't take, I think later on in the story, we read where some of the spices they were used to having, the garlic and leeks and salt and pepper and other things that were a pleasantry to them, they weren't able to take with them because they left in a hurry, and they were limited on what they could take. Remember, these people went on foot; they didn't have trucks, they didn't have trains, they left on foot, and carried what they could. We think about in our country in the old days in the 1800s when wagon trains crossed the prairies, and those people had a wagon to put most of their stuff in. Even those people at times had to leave a lot of their things behind. There were things they couldn't carry, but they carried the essentials. The same way with these folks. They were only allowed to carry, or only allowed to take what they could carry. Now back to the leaven. It was for a specific time, and this is for 7 days. And also, we notice in verse 17, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So the children of Israel are to observe this day forever. And notice, I think something we need to point out here is this is for the nation of Israel. This is not for the Lord's churches. We have another memorial that we keep. And that's what this was. He did it for a memorial. Remember, this was to be done forever. And it's supposed to be done at the same time of the year, on the same day of the year, as it was originally. Same month, he says, in verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st of the month. Now, he says in the next verse, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. In other words, they were supposed to totally remove it from their homes. It wasn't just that they weren't supposed to eat it. It couldn't be in the house. The Lord was preparing them for what was to come, remember. He says it was not just a one-time observance. They were supposed to make a memorial of this forever. The memorial we have two memorials, remember, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is our ordinance, our remembrance of our Lord and what he did for us. It was to be a memorial of the day the Lord took them out of Egypt. Like I said, the Lord's churches, we have no such command to follow this memorial. There are those who, I don't know, I'm still puzzled by some who out there who claim that we're to keep these ordinances that the Lord gave Israel. Even this was given before the law of Moses. The law of Moses doesn't do away with this, of course. This was still a memorial, even after Moses' law was given. But there's no command for the Lord's churches to follow this. But it is an example for us. And we can use this as an example. It's a type of fasting. And it was to draw them closer to the Lord. It was to prepare them for their journey, but it was also to show them that they had to rely on the Lord and that they could do without certain things and still be okay. Still, they were going to live. You know, this eating like this was not going to kill them. Doing without leavened bread was not going to kill them. We know in our day, some doctors and some scientists say that leavened bread is not good for us. Well, that kind of goes along with, you know, it depends on how much of it you eat. You know, if that's all you eat, yeah, it's going to be bad for you. But eating it every once in a while is not a bad thing. But this example they give here is we can do, you know, if there's something in our life that, whether it's unleavened or whether it's leavened bread or it's something else, there's something we can do without that would cause us to draw closer to the Lord. That's the type of fast we can do. I think I mentioned last week, there are different, some of the different things that we can fast from, you know, whether it's food, and maybe we need to fast from coffee or sodas or some drink that we have, or maybe we need to fast from whatever entertainment we have that we do. There are different things in our lives that we can fast from, that we can take a break from and get away from it and spend that time with the Lord instead of doing that. In our, the example we have is a church or one of the Lord's churches. You know, this is not, if we fast in this way, it's not to be as a memorial for the Exodus out of Egypt, as some would have us to believe, but rather as a way to do without leaven in our lives for a time. And to draw us closer to our Heavenly Father. We've talked about it was for a specified time. It was for 7 days. There are, that's between us and the Lord, I believe, on how much time we spend in a fast, whether it's fasting from everything, from all food, or if it's fasting from something in particular, whether it's food or something else, pray about it. Ask the Lord to show you what time. And I know people who have fasted regular in their lives as far as not eating food at all for a time. And some don't set a time. You know, they start out and they let the Lord guide them. And I think I mentioned one man. One pastor had told me his dad would fast, as far as he knew, about 30 to 40 days was the most he had fasted. That seems like a lot to us, and it is. I also mentioned that we have to be careful. And if there's, I know some are on medications, some are on, because their medications have to have something to eat. This is an example here where the Lord didn't require a total fast of food. If you want to fast, if you want to draw closer to the Lord in this way, you can do it without abstaining from all food. And I think that's where a lot of God's people have been misled over the years, is where we've been taught that fasting is a total abstaining from food altogether, food and drink. For some people, it's not realistic. It's not possible. And I don't believe the Lord intends that. If we can fast. We can change the way we eat for a time. And it may change the way we eat from now on. You know, it's between us and the Lord. But don't let what you've been taught in the past keep you from fasting, from being close to the Lord. You can do it and be safe. Like I said, there's, in our day and time, some of us have medications that we can't do without. It would be life-threatening if we were to not eat something with them, or if we were to not take them. Don't fast from your medications. I don't recommend that. Unless you've got something that's causing you problems. You know, if there's bad side effects, maybe that's something you need to talk to your doctor about. But be very careful about that. There's several examples given here pertaining to the fast, and I'm only going to name a few. I'm not going to go in depth on this for a lack of time. But first is the command to be obedient to God by following His commandment. The people are commanded by God here to follow this, and if you look back in verse 14, and this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. It says a memorial to the Lord, and it's a command. He commanded them to keep this memorial. It wasn't an option. It wasn't do it only if you want to. He commanded it. Like I mentioned earlier, this was to the nation, or to the congregation, it tells us, of Israel. They weren't a nation yet, remember. That doesn't happen until later. But they're he refers to them as the congregation here of Israel. And this command was to them. Do we have commandments today? Yes. The Lord's churches have commandments that we are to follow. We're told to we're told to keep the leaven out of the church. We're to keep the sin and corruption out of the Lord's churches, out of our own lives. There are things going on out in the world that the Lord's churches don't need to be a part of, and it's I think there's a difference there. We need to remember. Fasting and staying away from something, abstaining totally from something, is two different things. Fasting is for a time. Abstaining and keeping the leaven out from now on is different. It's not even supposed to be here. The fast, after 7 days, they were allowed to bring it back in the house. We're not. And as far as the things of the world, we're told to keep them out. Forever. We're not to allow them in. Another example is God teaching them to humble themselves by fasting from what they would normally eat, and that they are to do this as a memorial at the same time every year forever. This goes right along with His commandment on this. So they were to humble themselves. You think about that. If you're told to eat something that you don't normally eat, and particularly we think of the bitter herbs. You know, that's something that doesn't sound pleasant at all. It's going to be bitter to our taste, and our taste buds don't like things that are bitter most of the time. But they were commanded to eat them. It doesn't tell us what they were. It just says herbs. We don't know for sure what they were, but it was something they would not normally eat, or at least they wouldn't normally eat it the way the Lord's telling them to fix it. You know, they may have normally cooked it in butter, or or put doused it in salt and pepper or something to add flavor to it. You know, we don't know. But here he's telling them to eat it bitter. And most of us, I think, are not real wild about eating herbs raw. Some people do. But the taste is totally different when it's eaten raw than it is eaten cooked. They're normally bitter before you cook them. There are some that are bitter after you cook them, and depending on what you cook them in. But he tells them here to eat them bitter. And so this is not what they normally would eat. Also notice, if they had too much meat for their house, they were to share it with their neighbor. So if in this story we see where if they had too much meat, if the meat that they cooked was more than their family could eat, or if it was, some cases maybe it was just a man and his wife, but if it was more than their house could handle, more than they could eat that night for that meal, they were to share it with their neighbor if their neighbor had a need. If they had a neighbor, maybe they had a neighbor that didn't have a lamb. Maybe they had a neighbor that had a large family and didn't have enough. They were to share it with their neighbor if the neighbor required it. And remember, the neighbor would have been of the same congregation. If the neighbor was not someone out there in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to help our neighbors that are not part of the church. But they were to take care of the congregation first. And that's a teaching that we see in the Lord's churches in the New Testament. They were to take care of the needs of the church first. Then there's the fact that this fast was in preparation of God taking them out of the land of bondage and leading them to the land of promise. Remember, the Lord had promised Abraham that he was going to give his people a land, a promised land, it's called. And those in the bloodline of Isaac were going to inherit that land. They were looking for a physical, earthly place to live. They were in Egypt. They'd been in Egypt for over 400 years. It was not their home, and they knew it. They were there temporary. They had tried to make it their home, but it didn't work. And now they had been slaves, and were tired of it. The Lord was had made this time for them to leave. And the example here is, it was an example of God's grace, saving them from the bondage of sin through the blood of the sacrificial lamb. And then him leading them to the land of his promise. Today, we've got a promise from God. He saves us by his grace through the blood of his son. After we're saved, he leads us through his life. Remember, they were in the wilderness. They were there. They wandered the wilderness until their leader Moses died. God wouldn't permit Moses to go into the land. And so they had to go into the land. And matter of fact, a whole generation died off before they were able to go into the land because of their sin. We're saved by his grace through his blood. Then he leads us through this life on our way to the land of promise. And remember, we have a land of promise also. Whether we're his church or we're not, we are promised a land in the future. Now, as one of his churches, we're promised even more. We're promised a city and to rule and reign with him in that city. A land, and remember the example we see in other points and parts of scripture, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what they were promised. But our city, as our Sunday school teachers mentioned several times recently, the paving material in that city for the streets of that city are the purest form of gold. We can't even imagine that. We can't, you know, they were looking for a land flowing with milk and honey. But ours, the city, the promise we have, the city that we look forward to, that our hope is in, or that our hope is looking to towards, is the lowest thing in the street is the purest form of gold, the most precious metal we see on earth. And so the question is, are we willing to fast and pray when our Lord calls us to? Are we willing to humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father, do without some things in our life for a time period, and take that time that we normally spend on those things and spend time with Him? Do we have a desire to commune with our Heavenly Father? And you would be surprised, and I think, I believe there's some of God's people out there that don't have that desire. For some reason, I'm not doubting their salvation, but there's some people that would rather be in the world than to be in the Lord's house. I think that's obvious, not just here, but in other places. You look around the country at the Lord's churches that we know about, and I think every pastor will tell you, every church member in regular attendance will tell you, there are people there that should be there that are not. And it's because of the lack of a desire to be there. So, these questions we've got to answer for ourselves. If we're not willing to fast and pray when God calls us to, and don't make a show of it. We talked about that last week. Don't make a show of it. That's not how it's done. That's not how the Lord tells us to do it. That's not the instructions He gives. It's our private time with our Lord. If we're not willing to do it when He calls us to do it, why aren't we? Is there some sin in our life that we're ashamed of that we don't want to spend time with Him? Maybe that's the time that we need to get that sin out of our life. So, continue to pray for each other. Pray for those that are not able to be here, the ones that are not here, that could be here. We've got many on our prayer list. Pray for, as we prepare, in particular, as we prepare to start working towards our conference this spring, and we'll have more details on that to come, hopefully soon. So I guess that's all we have for this morning.